You know, it is, if you've been watching the news or reading Facebook or posting on Facebook, there is some craziness. And a lot of people, if I can just take a few minutes and just share from my heart, and then we're going to get into the Word. One thing that I noticed is, and I think for the most part, probably with good intentions, but people tend to jump on bandwagons real quick and beginning to voice. You know, social network, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's really created a platform for everybody to share their opinions, even if their opinions really shouldn't be shared. Right. Let's be honest. Some people aren't at the level to have a platform at that level to communicate and say some stuff, and they get themselves in trouble. I also think that, unfortunately, especially as a pastor, ministers, we got to keep ourselves in check, because some of them just want to see and hear their voice and look like they're more important than they, and come to the rescue with an answer that's not really the answer for the hour. I spent a lot of time this week getting ready for today, especially being the sensitivity of the subject matter. And I want to talk to us, not on a public forum, but we're family. You know, when you start spouting stuff on a public forum, you're always going to get pushback because there's people with all different varying opinions based on their perspective, based on what they know, based on the information they've been listening to. And I think at the end of the day, every one of us wants an answer. But the unfortunate reality, the complexity of the situation doesn't give us the benefit of having a short answer for all this. Looking at it from a Christian's perspective, the death of anyone is an unfortunate tragedy, regardless of any other situation, regardless of race, regardless of occupation, regardless of, well, they shouldn't have done this or this shouldn't have happened. All of that aside, as a Christian, life is precious. All life is precious, and the death of anyone is a catastrophe. Not just for the person who... Thank you. And my mind and heart keeps going back to not just the situation of the individuals that have died this week, but also to their children. How do you explain to a five-year-old child or a seven-year-old child or whatever that this is something that they will live with for the rest of their life? The finality of these moments is of such nature. I just have to be honest with you, which I always try to be. This would be hard to swallow for anybody. Yep. I think sitting on our hands, closing our mouth, and sitting by and doing nothing is obviously and should not be an option for any of us. I mean, I love Jesus with all my heart. God forbid someone messes with my family. There is a natural reaction, right? And so when we're talking about people who don't even know Jesus, the volatility of this is very explosive. And I am not, I know there's our brain, the way humanity works in our brains, there's going to be a guessing, a jumping ahead, and sometimes people were going, probably even jumping, well, I know what Pastor Greg's going to say. He's going to, and I'm going to approach it totally different than anything that I've heard. And I've listened to a lot of preachers, and I literally had to stop reading posts, listening to preachers. I just got to clear my head to find out, all right, God, what really should be said from our perspective? What do you want me to say? I can't speak for everybody. I can't speak to everybody. But the ones you want me to speak to, what should be said? And you can approach these situations from many different angles. We can talk about forgiveness. We can talk about vengeance as the Lord's. And those are all key points. But I want to approach it differently. And I would encourage you to stay with me throughout the thought. Because I don't want anybody to run away with half a thought. Because half a thought is pretty dangerous. Okay, half a truth is not good. But I want us to talk about, when it's time to fight, how do you fight? That's what I want to talk about. Because at the end of the day, it's not a matter of, God never intended us to be victims and weak without a voice. Right. I don't believe God's called us just to go through life and whatever happens, we just got to say, well, that's the way it is. I believe God wants to use his people to be a light in the dark world, which means to bring a change, something different that was not there before. Amen? And I'm always interested when I look at situations, and I was sharing it with somebody earlier, that things that we don't know, that God knows everything. And even in the series we've been doing, I find it interesting for us that I didn't plan this. I'm not that smart to know this. This is beyond me. But how the last couple weeks specifically, we have talked about from the series how to deal with storms on the outside and not let them get on the inside. Right. How to deal with fear that comes in and tries to disturb our world to get us to react. Because the devil can't make you do something, but if he can get you in the frame of mind to where you begin to do stuff that he's leading to, all of a sudden he's the puppet master and we become yielding to his plan and not God's plan. Can I get an amen? And so to me, we have to back up and say, wow, maybe God was prepping us for something we didn't see. And I find it interesting that even some people that were in the service who listened to the service, listened to the message and say, well, I'm listening, I'm learning. And yet you'll see on their post, complete opposite, the storm has already gotten in. And not to judge anybody, but it's a reality that the word works and we got to learn to apply the word. At the end of the day, and one thing I know, our children shouldn't be scared to play in the playground and be killed. And our family and friends shouldn't be afraid to go to work and being shot. This is, the world's got to change. That's all I can say. The world has to change. Because way it is now can't be status quo. We've been through this through Ferguson, and now it's hitting home again. And I will tell you, if I could summarize it in one word, and you can define it, interpret it any way you want, at the end of the day, this is evil. This is evil. This is evil. This is a demonic plan, regardless of what people are involved to orchestrate, to coordinate, to initiate, whatever that might be. That doesn't matter. That's not the point at the moment. The reality is the devil has a plan, and this is evil. And you can see, in my opinion, I'll say it that way, when things hit a high emotional point, there's usually a spiritual connection to this. This thing is just not happened there. It's like everybody feels like it happened down on their street. And it's creating panic. It's creating fear. And people, when they're afraid, make bad choices on all sides of the fence, no matter where you stand. But I don't want us to go home, and it's easy to get up and say, we love America. Let's pray for America. Let's all go home. Woohoo! But nothing's been done. Those are such big generalities. Anybody could say they do it. No one's going to check up if you did it. What is there? But I think we need to be like David said, that there is a cause. Yep. There's something worth doing something about. Show us, God, what we need to do to create a change in our world. Because in the end of the day, God wants us to be light to the darkness. He wants us to bring peace where there's fear. He wants us to bring love where there's hatred. He wants us to bring who he is to what the world is doing, what the devil is doing, and not sit by and conform to the world, not sit by and hide out from the world, but to be able to be a voice. And you might not be able to speak to everybody, but you should be able to speak to somebody. We don't have to agree on every aspect. That's not the point. But as believers, we should be, okay, God, what are you saying in this situation? God, what do you want to do? And so today, I look at it, and I shared this a few weeks ago. For whatever reason, I've always had this as part of who I am, and I don't always understand it because I don't fit in with a lot of pastors. I just don't. Yeah, I try. I really have tried. I don't fit in with a lot of churches. I've tried. I don't love to hear my voice. Praise God. I don't want to be the center of attention. That's why I allow you to hang out and hide out, because behind the scenes, that's kind of really who I am. If I go to a church just to visit, I don't want them to know who I am. Okay? But it's just not me. But part of me is I don't like trying to maintain something. And I feel like it. I've always had this. I don't know why. that, and I mentioned it a few weeks ago, that we're not called to fit in. We are built for war.
Right.
But we got to learn how to fight correctly.
Right.
You don't know how to fight, you'll grab the wrong weapon, go to the wrong field, go to the wrong enemy, shoot to get it. You know what I mean? That's why you go through boot camp.
Yep.
So you can learn some stuff.
Yeah.
So you can do it right. And this might sound combative. This might sound like I'm inciting something. I'm not. Stick with me. Stick with me. So don't go start grabbing something and go run into the street saying, "Pastor told me." But I think something needs to be said in a way that can be constructive and definitive, that we can all walk away and say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do out of this mix? Show me what to do." Because we can all pray. But God also wants us to do something. He didn't tell David, "See, Goliath, go pray about it." He didn't tell Israel, "See those giants in the land, go pray about it." Some things we pray about. Some things we got to stand up and do something about it.
Right.
Someone knock on your door trying to break in, you don't go pray.
Right.
You might pray when you go get your gun and let them know they have two options.
Come on.
Right? Get your dog, get your gun, and then tell them, "Would you like to meet Jesus? You got two options. Repent. Or walk through, or climb through that window, and I'll introduce them." Come on, somebody. We'll cut that out of them. They'll want to even hear that. That's just family. We're just talking family now. But we're going to start this off differently because I believe that this is a strategic demonic attack war against us as American citizens, against our country, against our freedom, against our religious freedom. And so when it comes to combating, it's important to know your enemy. And since we know who the devil is, I like to spit in his face a little bit. And so we're going to start off and we're going to lift our hands. We're going to stand to our feet. And one more time, we're going to give the Lord the loudest shout of praise. You might not feel like it emotionally. It might not look like you have a reason to. But we're going to do it because he's still worthy and the devil needs to hear it. That we will not shout, not keep our voice. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. You are the all-sufficient. You are our protector. We thank you. You are our provider. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We have run into your name and we are safe. The angels of God surround us. We are safe. We praise you, Jesus. You are good, Father God. You are good, Father God. You are good, Father God. This is what's not your plan. You are good. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you that you are good. And none of this stuff that happened this week was your planning or your doing. But what the enemy meant for evil, we're going to turn it for good by the power and the authority of your name. And we will not shrink back. We will not shut up. We will not become like the world, but we will be the light in the darkness of the moment. And we will give you all the praise. We will give you all the glory. We will give you all the honor. For it's by your power, not by might or power, but by your spirit, that these things will bring light and victory and touch the lives of many in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
yeah.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you weren't with us, or if you got what I was saying and you were doodling on a piece of paper and not taking notes, God bless you the last 2 weeks. I encourage you to get the CDs, the podcast, and get that word in you. What to do when fear's at the door? What to do when the storm has got on the inside? Because God's not called you to live in fear. Amen. But we don't have time to go through all that again, but get that word in you. But I want us to look at, we'll start with Psalms 23. Notice the verse. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, let's throw that up there. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will what?
Fear
no evil. Folks, this country's walking through some stuff right now.
Right.
But don't you stay in it.
Right.
You keep walking.
Amen.
You keep walking.
Yeah.
Because the entrance of his word brings light. And when lightness comes, darkness flees. Amen. And so don't, when the devil tries to make you afraid, and it's amazing how he works in our imagination.
Yeah.
You'll see every situation. Oh, I can't let the kids out because something bad's going to happen. That's a lie of the devil.
Right.
You, every time the devil speaks, you start speaking the word of God. No, the angels of the Lord encamp around about me and my children. As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isaiah says, great peace and undisturbed composure belongs to my children and my family. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in unrest. You choose to do it God's way, not the world's way. The devil starts saying, look at that person. I bet they're dangerous. Say, nope, I got the angel of God. For the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and keeps them. Are you with me? God is your protector. That doesn't mean you do something foolish. Can I get an amen? Even Jesus, the devil said, why don't you cast yourself down and see if God will protect you? Because didn't he say his angels will protect you? And Jesus said, you should not tempt the Lord your God. Don't tempt him. Don't say, all right, God, you're with me. You got me covered. And go do something stupid and get yourself where you're in trouble.
No.
But on the same token, you don't have to live in fear. We're going to walk through this in the name of Jesus. And you're going to become an example in the name of Jesus to your world, to your community, that you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to panic, you don't have to react, but you can act with purpose, and you can bring light where there's darkness. And I believe in the name of Jesus, and I speak over your life, that even though right now you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, that the anointing of God would just rest upon you in that moment, and you'll find yourself in conversations with people, and you don't have to be combative, you don't have to confront them. God will give you the right thing to the right person, and if it's not, you just walk on. But I'm telling you, God's going to create some opportunities, and you'll be able to speak in people's lives and de-escalate it, bring them in the place of peace, bring them into right thinking, bring them into experience the love of God, and many of them get saved. And what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for good. I'm not saying let's figure this thing out, because I'm telling you, it's so complex, you're going to spend all day banging your head, and once you get it figured out, you'll spend the rest of your life banging your head against the wall trying to convince people you got the answer. I know what it is, and it's amazing how everybody's got their own views, and they'll compete, and they'll be fighting with each other about what the answer is. No, you can't solve everything for everybody. You're not their Jesus, but God will put you right in the path of the people he wants you to reach out to. I choose not to look at this as, oh, let's hide and lock the doors and just let the storm pass. I choose to say, all right, God, what the enemy meant for evil, he's roaring his head. He is showing who he is. He is showing where he is operating. And we are not passive. We are not weak. We are not silent. But now we know the enemy, and we can deal with him the way God wants us to deal with him.
Right.
We can bring a change. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, let's throw that verse on the screen if we can. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph.
Yeah.
See, we want to be a giant killer, but we don't like dealing with giants. We want to be victorious, but we don't want to deal with battles. And I'm not saying you have to live a life nonstop battles. That's not right. And I'm not saying that every problem needs to be one you jump in. Because the devil creates some issues you don't even need to be involved in.
Right.
You don't need to take on another man's offense, Proverbs says. But that don't mean we sit back and watch injustice happen. That doesn't mean we sit back and say nothing should be done. That doesn't mean we should sit back and say, well, I'm glad it's not my family. I think the plan of the enemy is for our society to be so desensitized that we won't be concerned about when people die. I'm telling you, when we get to this phase that the Bible prophetically talked about, people being taking the mark of the beast or being executed, you have to wonder, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have their heads cut off. You have to wonder, where was the outcry of society to see so many people? I mean, John standing at the throne, Revelation tells us, and he saw more people that can be counted of every tribe, of every race, of every language around the throne. And the angel says, who are these people? And John says, don't take my word for it, challenge it, look it up. And John says, I don't know, you tell me. And he said, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation that had their heads cut off because they wouldn't take the mark. With all of that happening, where was people crying out for the injustice, saying, wait a minute, this is not right. I think it's little by little, desensitizing people and getting them so much into fear that they would rather say, I'll let them die as long as it doesn't affect me. But folks, I'm telling you, if you're in a boat and one side's got a hole in it and it's going under, you can sit all day and say, I'm glad it's not my side of the boat. But eventually, it's going to affect us all. Thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph. It's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be convenient. But I'm telling you, I believe God wants us to be a light. We can sit back and fold our hands and let the storm pass, or we can say, God, there's some God moments in this, opportunity in this. You open my eyes to show me. I don't want to react. I don't want to react out of fear. I don't want to react. I had to stop listening. I mean, you listen to enough of it, I was getting angry. I was like, I can't do that. Because all of a sudden, if I'm acting out of anger, if I'm reacting, not acting. Right. If I'm acting out of fear, I'm reacting, not acting. God doesn't want you to react because of what the devil's doing. He wants you to act out of what he's doing. And not sit back and say, well, let's just forgive them all. No, let's do something about this. Right. Let's look for the God opportunity. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest. Here's a benefit. Makes manifest, which reveals, notice, reveals the Savior or the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place, which means this way. God can take those situations if you allow him to use you, because he's not looking for perfect people, but available people to say, God, I'm here. You can use me. Yeah. Yeah. To demonstrate and reveal the aroma of his goodness in the situation. What about right now? You got to think differently sometimes. Right now, you know, when recessions happen, that's when historically, during the recession is when the majority or the biggest percentage of millionaires are made. Why? Because people begin to rethink life. And when they rethink life, they're trying to spend their money differently. And when they're trying to spend their money differently, some people start thinking, how can I benefit by offering a product or service that's different? Yep. And people are more open, and they become rich out of it. When everybody's trying to conserve and survive, some people are going to excel. Yep. And I'm telling you that right now, people are rethinking life. Everything that they thought was norm, and this is the way life should be, and this is the way society should work, right now, because of what the enemy's doing, he's trying to get them to shriek, he's trying to desensitize them, he's trying to push them down and push them out, but they're rethinking life. Now the things that they never even thought about is on the front of their attention. And instead of us hiding, hoping things get better and pass, you can be available for God to use you to advance the goodness of the gospel and reach people who will never be interested in hearing about Jesus. So many people are looking for who to blame. Let me tell you, it's the devil. It's evil. But let's not sit back and let evil have its way. Let's go out there as a light. And what the enemy used for evil, God can turn for good. When the devil's trying to take you out and shut you up, you're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see in the name of Jesus. You are men and women of faith. And what would intimidate most is an opportunity for you. You don't have to try to convince the masses. The danger is trying to go out and try to get on public venue and communicate to the masses. You're going to have major pushback. You look for those God opportunities. Many times, it'll be one-on-one. Because you can have a word in due season. Paul says, pray that God would give me the words to say and impact the lives of people who, until now, have been closed to hearing anything different than what they've already known. Let's go to the next scripture if we can. Ephesians chapter 6 says, final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah. Taking notes, number one, we have to operate from a position of strength, yes. Not a position of panic. A position of strength. God wants you to be strong. How do you get strong? Joshua 1, 6 through 8. Get the word in your life. Get the word that you may be strong. If you're not strong and courageous, you're not going to try. If you're afraid, you're not ready. You have to do it. You have to get the strength of God on the inside. It didn't say feel strong. It said be strong. Yeah, yeah. Say amen to that. Amen. We're going to go through this quick because of time. Number two, verse 11. Put on God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. The devil is strategic. God is strategic. The devil is strategic. Right. We war. We battle. It is a strategic thing. Don't ever get distracted thinking that some stuff just happens. No, the devil has a strategy. When the devil operates in darkness and you bring light, he's exposed.
Right.
He operates in darkness.
Yeah.
See, now you might think I'm a little extreme, but I'm a firm believer. Now, you could disagree. That's okay. And if you disagree, pray with me. This is not an eternity issue, but this next thing I'm about to say. I'm a firm believer that the true people with power that are pulling the strings, you will never see. I don't believe anybody on TV, I don't believe anybody in political positions are the true power. Because the devil operates in darkness.
Yes,
people with power, but they don't want to be seen and be exposed.
Right.
You don't think that's so? How do you think? Forget how you vote politically. We'll get into that later. We got a lot of months before we get to November.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, how do you think these individuals get to that level? I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, Socialist, Independent. You don't get to that level without a lot of deals being made. We'll get more on that later, so don't be mad at me if you're extremist or one of them. You got plenty of time to get mad at me later, so hallelujah. Be strong. Stand firm. Say stand firm.
Stand firm.
You're not called to retreat.
Right.
You're not called to retreat. You're called to stand firm. Next verse. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, which means people.
Right.
The devil pulls the strings and uses people.
Right.
He works in their head and uses people. But against evil rulers of authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this darkness, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. There's an order. There's a structure. But if you fight people, it's like me hitting you and then you getting mad and hitting somebody else because I hit you. So as long as I hit you, you keep beating everybody else up. I can keep hitting them because he don't see me. He doesn't know it's me. He's blaming everybody else. I hit him. He looks to me and I point and he goes and attacks him. That's what the devil's doing. Until we wake up and say, wait a minute, it's not the ones he's pointing to. There's good people in every field, and there's bad people in every field. It's that one. It's this one. It's them. It's them. We can always point our fingers, and the devil just smiles as everybody implodes. Next verse, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. God just doesn't want you to stand strong and firm before the battle. When the dust settles,
yeah.
Say, I'm going to be standing.
Yeah.
When the storm ends, Jesus said, if you're building your life on the word, when the storm is over, you will be standing. I speak an anointing for you to stand strong before, during, and even after any battle.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 14. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. We need truth, folks. Truth is not what's factual. Truth is what God is saying. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and their life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
He is the word, John 1:1. What does the Bible tell us? What do we get from the word of God? We need truth. Versus the truth that we know that gives us freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
But so-and-so said, so-and-so could be wrong. So-and-so could be right, and it's still not truth. Righteousness is what does God want done, the right standing.
Yeah.
When we go to war, we don't want to fight the way the world fights. We don't want to do what the world's doing. We don't want to, I don't even want to leave the plans into my own imagination. I want God, you need to show me. And you need to show me so clearly that I know it's not me and it's you. Be real with yourself. God, I don't need this little, I think you said. I don't need a whisper of an emotion that I need to, I need to know. Lord, you show me, because I want to do your plans. You make it real to me as I read your word. You make it jump, make it alive, and maybe even tell me two or three times, because sometimes I miss it on the first try.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta be real with God.
Yeah.
Next verse. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. We talked about peace. There's a rest. There's a peace to the people of God.
Amen.
We are not going to go out there freaking out, overwhelmed, nervous. No, you're going to be in rest in the name of Jesus. I speak peace in your home.
Amen.
I speak peace in your heart.
Amen.
You get that word in your life. And let it bring a level of peace. It's one thing to say, I have peace when I'm on vacation, sitting on the beach, no one is bothering me. It's another thing to stand in a storm and know the peace on the inside. You want to know the word is true, you start applying the word and see it work in your life. And then when you come out of that storm, you'll say, oh, I don't know everything, but one thing I know, man, that stuff works. That stuff works. Now you know it works. How do you argue with a blind man who just got healed that Jesus is not the healer? All I can tell you is once I was blind. See, you're applying the sword of the word of God into your situation. You're allowing it to be working so that you know it works. And now when the next storm comes, guess what you're going to do? Oh, I know what to do. I need to get in the word and let it just saturate my mind. Verse 16. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. You're not moved by what you feel here. See, you're moved by the word.
Amen.
The dart hurts, but the fire spreads.
Come on.
You got to be willing to say, I'm going to snuff this out. I'm not going to make it bigger than it is. It's not saying things are okay. It's not saying someone deserved it. That's immaterial. It's saying that the enemy is trying to destroy our nation, trying to destroy your neighborhood, trying to destroy your life. This can never show up on your doorstep, but you can live as if you went through it yourself. Can you imagine hitting one person and everybody else walking around hurting? You don't need to live that way. We need to be the solution, not the problem.
Amen.
Next verse. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Watch what you think about. I'm telling you, you might have to spend some time not on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, listening to everybody's opinion and watching the videos over and over and over. Because what you feed grows. What you starve weakens. We'll spend hours getting everybody's opinion and no time in the word getting God's opinion and can't figure out why our whole household feels like it's in chaos and we see the world as in chaos and we see everything as in chaos. It's because not that it is in chaos and it's pretty crazy right now, but that it's chaos in us and now we see everything that way. Got to put on that helmet of salvation. Guard your heart what you watch. I'm not saying don't be informed, no. But don't saturate yourself with the wrong information.
Right.
Once you know enough to deal with it, that's enough you need to know. Now let's get to what God says.
Right.
And focus, set your affection on things above, the Bible says, not on things on the earth. Why? Because if you begin to pray without thanksgiving, I can't nothing be thankful for, Pastor. Well, you got to get to the place you got your mind right. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask. You got to get the word so you know what God has already promised you. When you begin to ask, you already know. He said, it's approved. Don't shout me down. Because some people are not praying. They're just panicking. And God just happens to be the one they're panicking to. No, you're not weak. God wants you to be strong and courageous and see a change. So, which is the word of God. Amen. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Next verse, praying always. Praying always. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to find out, God, what do you want me to do? You need to be praying, building yourself up on your most holy faith, Jude, verse 20. You need to be praying for people, praying for opportunities. What am I telling you? This is, again, like we saw with Ferguson, this is a volatile situation. Don't let the media guide you. Don't let fear guide you. Let God guide you. And look at this as, okay, God, I don't need to just sit back and say it's okay, because it's not. This is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care where you stand. It's wrong. All sides of it, it's wrong.
Right.
But God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. God's not wanting you to destroy anything. That's not peace. But he wants you to make a difference. I think we need to make a commitment between us and God that, God, we want to be so available that when this is all said and done, the devil's going to wish he never messed with us again.
Yeah.
You are seven people from anybody. They say you are seven people. You know somebody, you know somebody, you know somebody, you know somebody. Seven people out from anybody in the world. And I'm telling you that what works, you keep using.
Amen.
And if the devil thinks this works, guess what's going to happen? He's going to keep doing it. But we can't rise up and just do it the old way, the world way, and say something's going to change. No, we need to do it God's way. It brings such a change. I'm praying. We need a revival, folks. We need our country on fire with God's presence, the Holy Ghost. We need people who are plotting. If to either get right or for them to go blind or something. Forget the fleas of a thousand Campbells. They either get right or they just go on.
Right.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
They either get right or they get so exposed by the light that they'll go to prison or they'll lose all authority, they'll lose all influence. But we can't sit back and just say, if we wait it out, it'll change. The devil keep doing what he's doing to somebody demands a change. And we don't need to demand it the way the world does it. We're going to do it with fervor. We're going to do it with integrity. We're going to do it God's way. You are not afraid. You will not react with fear. You are strong. You're going to bring peace to your neighborhood. You're going to bring peace. Your children don't understand what's going on. They just know, mom and dad, they're all upset. No, you're going to bring peace into your home. Because if we don't handle it well, we will hand it down to the next generation. And they don't need to be dealing with these issues. We need to deal with these issues. We need to grow up, and not only naturally but spiritually, and deal with the problems at hand so that they are perpetuated into the next generation if the Lord tarries. We can't be playing the world. And if you're living in the world, living in sins, thinking you're getting by with it, no, you've just weakened your ability to fight. Time to make things right.